Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20. The title for this bit of scripture is called The Armor of God. So you might have thought, sure, what happened to the flower ladies this week? You know, what's happening? I don't normally come to this church. All this kind of weird stuff in the front. So I said to them, I'm speaking about spiritual warfare, full armor of God. Be creative. I said, I've got some stuff, that I've still got from when I was running around in the bush. And some other people do as well. So see what you can do. So this is what has happened. So this is a graphic of where we're going to be going this morning. So if you're unsure of what the message is and you're a visual learner, you can look at this. And hopefully that'll remind you of where we're going. Spiritual warfare and the armor of God. So let's read Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. This is the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So there was a point in my life where I was a growing Christian. I'd become a Christian. And I was in Kempton Park, and we used to go to a conference at the Rhema Church. It was a massive, big conference, and I was new to Christianity, new to the Word. I'd read this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and powers. I'd read that, and I landed up in a session with Alexander Fenter, who's a man who is very spirit-filled and moves in the Spirit often, and he was speaking on spiritual warfare. And just suddenly during his talk, he said, there's something not right here. There's something evil in this room. Well, everybody just was like shocked, almost like you. And he said, everybody stand up. So everybody stood up. And at that point, there was a death-curdling scream from the back. You know when the hair on the back of your neck stands up? Well, at that point, I was just praying, Lord, protect me. Just be with me. Cover me with your blood. Come, Holy Spirit, angels, hedge around me. Because I wasn't sure what was happening. But at that point, something demonic had taken place. And he just with authority, he just stepped off the platform and walked straight to the back. And I thought, oh, don't stop. Don't stop at me. Don't stop it. Walked right past me. I was like, oh, hallelujah. And he went right to a person behind us and just started praying. And there was a whole performance, and there was a ministry team. And you know, it was that moment where this scripture became real. I'd read the scripture. I thought, our battle is not against flesh and blood, against spiritual principalities. Yeah, you know, I understand that in my head. But at that moment, I kind of went, whoa, this is real. There's a spiritual realm. The spiritual realm has got good and has got bad. And I've just experienced something that is not of God. I was at a camp at Eston. We used to have a revival camps there once a year as a Presbyterian church. And I was at a camp there where a similar thing happened. A lady who won't reveal her name, but not in this congregation, so everybody can just relax. Very, very tiny little lady. Suddenly the same thing happened with her. And some people took her out to minister to her. And in this place where something was happening evil in her life, she took a double bunk bed and threw it across the room. And we had been moving beds around the day before, thinking, "Sure, why do they make these bunk beds so solid?" And she just had flung it across the room. And it was those experiences that I kind of realized that there's the spiritual realm, and there's good, and there's definitely evil. And I want to be talking about that this morning. The evil one is real, and there's plenty of references in the Bible to the person of the evil one, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, all of those things. There's plenty of biblical evidence. But first, in Ephesians 6, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." And that word struggle is, I just want to stop there for a moment, because there's different ways that that word can be translated. So if you look at all of the different translations of this particular verse, struggle is one of the ways. The popular one is wrestle. And they say that the Greek actually has the connotation of two people going into a wrestling match and trying to overthrow the other person. You can picture wrestlers. Got that? But conflict, fight, battle is even a word that is used in that context. And I really want to say that there is a battle happening. And sometimes we get very complacent, very relaxed, and we think all is gung-ho and it's all good. But know that there is a battle going on. There's a struggle in the heavenly realms for our salvation. Both good and bad, there's a struggle for the salvation of souls. And, John Eldridge says this: "The problem is this. We do not live in Eden. That is not the chapter of the story we are living in. We live in a world at war. We live in a larger story that is far more urgent and noble and startling than just making life good." And then just as I was preparing for this, I saw this post come through my social media feed. "The church is not an audience to be entertained. It is an army to be empowered." An army to be empowered. Now, you know that at the beginning of the year, I was putting big pressure on people to bring their Bible to church. And part of the reason is because the Bible is described as the sword. What person would go to battle and go, "What do I need to take? Car keys, glasses, cell phone, wallet?" Oh, no, Presbyterians leave the wallet in the car, check. but not the sword, not the sword. Anyway, I'm going to get back to the sword, don't worry. We're going to have some fun with the sword. Okay, so there's different ways that we can look at this topic, different ways we can approach it, and you'll find that there's a pendulum that swings, and you'll have people who believe something right on this side, and people who believe something right on this side, and people who find themselves in the middle and kind of vacillate. But you can say that the evil one does not exist. There are people that believe that the evil one does not exist. There's no such thing. There's no personality like the devil or Satan or anybody like that. It's just people are bad. It's a part of the world. It's part of, you know, not everybody's like that. There's those people that would believe that. And I think that then the evil one has won already, because with that kind of approach, we don't have to do anything. We can just be neutral on this. We don't have to go to war. We don't have to attack. We could just sit back and go, "Well, there's nothing. A couple of bad people in the world. They corrupt other people. But it's not driven by any kind of force outside of themselves." The other thing that we could do is attribute everything to the evil one. So here's my story. So 2 weeks ago, I was approached by a couple living in Kokstad. And they said, "Brian, we've had problems with our minister. Their parents, the guy, Bruce Scott, is Brian and Jenny Scott's son." So Brian and Jenny said, "Oh, speak to Brian. Maybe he can come to your wedding." So they said to me, "Hey, Brian, can you come do our wedding?" So I said, "Look, I've got to be back at church by 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Is it possible?" "Yes, no problem." So I said, "Okay, I'm good to go." So Friday, Lon and I traveled up to Kokstad. Then last night, the party was happening. I didn't have anything to drink except water. Lots of sugar in Coke. But anyway, okay, not getting sidetracked. So And during the evening, I was making plans for this morning. I went to the lady who had given us the keys. I said, okay, we're going to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning because people were saying 3 hours to get back to Hillcrest. So I'll get you at 8 o'clock, an hour to spare. Whew, simple. Said, where do I put the key? In the box. Okay, how do I get out the gate? Don't worry, there's a guard. He'll open the gate. Yes. Okay, so we were very blessed. We got to stay in a room at the venue. Hey? No, not really. Because when I said to Lana, hey, I need to go and get some sleep. I'm going to drive for 3 hours tomorrow to get to church, and I need to preach. Really want to kind of not fall asleep in the pulpit. It's 10 o'clock. If you know anything about me, that's already like an hour past my bedtime. Said, we need to go to bed. So we go to bed. But because we're right at the venue, they didn't go to bed, did they? So I was trying to go to sleep. So now I'm thinking, this is the evil one. He doesn't want me to be kind of wide awake tomorrow morning, so he's going to keep me awake. Could be, I don't know. Anyway, 20 past four this morning, alarm goes off. Into the shower, out of the shower, Lana's alarm goes off at 5:30. She's in the shower, dressed, ready to go. I start taking stuff to the car. And there in the parking lot are all these cars parked. I'm so ready, hey. I'd reversed my car into a spot so that in the morning I could just go. I'm thinking if there's dew, I don't want to try and reverse. There's a tree. I'm ready. Except somebody had parked in front of me. There's 10 cars parked here, folks. Not just one, not just Brian. And right in front of my car is another car. Fortunately, it's 5:20 because I'm like well ahead of my time here. My wife's not here, so I can't say anything about her timing. But I'm well ahead. So I go to the guard. I'm like, do you know whose car this is? No clue. What am I thinking? My life's being disrupted by the evil one. That's a possibility. Anyway, guess whose car it is? The couple that I just married. So I said to the guard, what time did they party till? 1:30. I'm thinking, sure, they're going to be really chuffed when I wake them at 4:45 to say, hey, you've got to move your car. He was very gracious when we eventually found where they were staying. Fortunately, they were at the venue. Because then I said to Lana, what if the people, because it was a local registration number for Cockstead, I thought, what if they're local and they were too drunk and somebody took them home and they just left their car and they're going to get it later today? I think, you know, I'm going through all of these things. But I mean, we can so easily say, well, that's the evil one trying to disrupt my life, not wanting me to get back. Okay, so we hit the road. Clear, open, fine, no problem. Whew, town's going past us. I'm not driving Miss Daisy. I'm Leadfoot Lana. I'm like, we've got to get to church. I know that if I phone Jean and tell her, Jean's the elder on duty, and if the minister can't make it, the elder on duty has to jump in. And I know if I phone Jean and say, we're not going to make it, could be a bit of like tension in the house. We're about 5 kilometers before the highway coming through Richmond, just gone through Richmond, just close to the highway, come around a corner, and there's a truck and a car have had an accident, and the road is totally closed. I'm like, oh no. Lord, is this the evil one trying to stop me to get to church? You know, he knew what I was going to be preaching on today. And I'm thinking, do I attribute this to him? Do I give this to him? Lana's like, Brian, it's a little road to the left, right here. And it comes out just down there, about a kilometer on. We're like, wow, almighty God, woo! So we on this little road, orange trees, and we get close to the road, and then there's people coming towards us. And they like doing this. And I thought, oh, Shane's here in his helicopter. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that, unfortunately. It was the gate leading onto the road. It's got a padlock. The farmer's locked the gate. We can't get through there. So now not only do I have to get out of this, because now we've got orange groves on this side and everybody's now that's gone this way, about 20 of us are now trying to do this, and now we're doing this. So I said to Lana, sure, this is really stressful. We had phoned Jean by this time. and given her the good news that she might be doing a lot of work this morning. But, you know, we can so easily say, well, that's just the evil one just trying to throw a spanner in our works. You know, when you go to the cupboard in the morning and you reach out for the cereal and you see Fruit Loops, 2,000 calories per serving, or rolled oats, 26 calories, you're like, oh, not the evil one. You know, or when you get to a parking lot and you're like, oh, Lord, give me a parking place, and there's one left, and just before you get there, somebody slips in, you go, oh, the evil one. You know, no, I think we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful by saying everything. He's responsible for everything. And we have to be very careful about saying there is no such thing. I think we need to be balanced in our approach and say that we do live in a place where there's evil afoot, and it is forced into motion by the evil one. He is the one that tries to get us to trip, to fall. But we can't give all the glory to him. We got here on time this morning, and you know, Jean, thanks for praying for us so diligently. But we made it, you know. So I think we need a very middle ground approach. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We have to remember that, but we can't give everything to the evil one. He's real, he's active, he's alive, he's operational in this world. But he's not responsible for everything. And we have to say, Lord, what is this? Is this of you? Is it not of you? We come against the evil one. So find the place where you sit on this. Now, what I wanted to do now is just kind of go through a couple of names that the Bible uses, because people would be like, you know, no such thing. And I just want to highlight where we find this person referred to in the Bible, and often the names given, especially if you look up names of God, you'll find that you can learn a lot about God as you look at the different names that the writers have used to describe Almighty God. And the same is true when we get to the evil one. So the first scripture I want to go to is Job 1 verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. So this is a personal name that we find in the Bible of Satan. And Satan means adversary. And that might be something that you feel in your life, that there's an adversary coming up against me. And maybe you need to pray against that. Another scripture that we can go to is Matthew 4 verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Devil is a word that we find sometimes. And this, the word devil means slanderer. And so if you've ever had that kind of a feeling, you know, just feel like you're being slandered, or in your mind you're having these thoughts that you know, God is not worth following, or that could very well be the evil one saying, hey, this is not worth it. This is not the path that I think you should follow. He attacked Jesus himself in the desert. So he's the one that comes against. Then in Matthew 4, Isaiah 14 verse 12. The morning star. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. So morning star has got the connotation of the bearer of light. And I mention this just because the Latin for that is translated as Lucifer. And that's a name you might have heard. But we know that the true light is Jesus Christ. In Revelation 22 verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. So we know the truth. There's the false morning star, and then there's the true morning star. John 1 verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Another word that we find is in Matthew 4 verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. The tempter. Have you ever been tempted? There's a possibility that there's some evil intent in trying to make you trip up. Temptation is something that comes to everybody. It's not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. It's when we step into that temptation that we sin. But we feel that. We feel that we're trying to be derailed in our walk with God, and often that's what he wants to do. He'll say, what about this? Okay, so normally you read your Bible early in the morning before you go to work, but why don't you first go to social media this morning, just quickly, and then read the Bible? And then you find, I don't have time for the Bible. These things happen. We're tempted subtly. You don't have temptation that kind of leads you into a big dark abyss just like that. But often we just led slightly astray, just off the path, and that leads to us falling into sin. John 8 verse 44 says this: you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. There's a word, murderer. Not holding to the truth, not truthful, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So the evil one is a liar. He lies. What he brings is not the truth. Christ brings the truth. The evil one brings a lie. And he's the father of lies, what the scripture tells us. And then I'm just going to whip through a whole lot of things here. John 8:44, I read it there and I just highlighted it. But a murderer. In another verse we read, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what his modus is. Matthew 12, verse 24, Beelzebub. Matthew 13, verse 19, the evil one. Matthew 13, 39, the enemy. Matthew 9, 34, the prince of demons. John 14, 30, prince of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, God of this age. 2 Corinthians 11, 14, angel of light. Ephesians 2, verse 2, ruler of the kingdom of the air. And then 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's the scripture on the front of your bulletin. The important word, and I pointed this out just the other week, is like. Prowls around like a roaring lion. He would like to think that he is all powerful, but really on the cross, Christ pulled out his claws and took out his fangs. He just roars. But he doesn't have victory. Christ has the victory. He's just like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Revelations 9:11, the angel of the abyss, the same verse, Apollyon and Abaddon. Then Revelations 12:9, the great dragon. Revelations 12:9, the ancient serpent. Revelations 12:10, the accuser. Ever felt like you're being accused of something? A heaviness that comes upon you? Might be from the evil one. Isaiah 14:12, son of the dawn. Ezekiel 28:14, the anointed guardian cherub. So there's a whole lot of ways that we read Satan is described, or the evil one is described in the Word of God. And if you think of your own life, there might be places where you can say, wait a second, you know, that's not of God, that thing that I have, that feeling that I have, that impulse to do something, that's not of God. And we need to just take hold of those thoughts, take hold of that temptation, and say, hey, God, help me here. This is not of you. So what do we do? How to come the evil one? 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Be alert and sober-minded. Yeah. Don't let your guard down. Remember, we're in a battle. We're not just skipping through daisies. We're in a battle. So when... Who was here? Mark Boshoff was here the other day. He's speaking to Peter Benson, and they were sharing about a time that they'd got together for coffee. And they'd gone to a coffee shop, and it was really awkward for them because they both wanted to sit against the wall in the booth. They didn't want to sit in the chair with their back to the aisle. And I was like, they were reminiscing, and I'm like, what's this all about? And so Pete's like, well, I come from Liverpool. If you sit with your back to the aisle, you don't know who's going to hit you with a beer bottle over the head. And Mark Boshoff is like, yeah, I come from the Bluff. Same thing. You know, you know what's good. You never sit with your back towards an aisle. And I immediately thought, be alert and sober-minded. That's what it's about. You know, it's not being crazy in restaurants like those two characters. But it is just being aware. Just saying, we know this is a battle. When I was in the army, I remember we were in... army stories. This could be a long service. Oh goodness! We were looking after a camp, and every night we would walk a patrol, and we'd got so used to this path that we didn't even use a torch anymore. We're in the middle of nowhere, And we would walk between these tents around by the mess. You see, I can still remember this route. And the one night we were walking along. And all of a sudden there was a rush of air kind of sound. And we just stopped. And I turned on my light, and there right in front of me on the path was a puff adder. And, you know, we've got to be aware. We've got to be alert. Those are things that, you know, we were just so in this motion of just walking this path, and we did it every night. I was there for 13 months. Goodness gracious. We knew that path so well. But in our Christian walk, we need the same kind of thing. We must be always on the lookout, alert and sober-minded. What is the evil one wanting to do? Don't let him do it in your backyard. Resist him. That's what Peter's saying here. Be alert and sober-minded. Got that. Resist him. So that's what we've got to do. Is just say, we're not going to have anything to do with you. We're not going to let that thought take captive of my mind. We're not going to fall into the trap that you've set for me. The snare that I see, I'm not going to walk into that place. Stand firm in the faith. This is really important. There needs to be more going in than just Brian's sermon on a Sunday morning. That daily Bible reading, that spending time with God, that leaning into God, that resting in His arms must be a continuous kind of thing. We cannot just rely on this moment and go, whew, there we go. Got my salvation sandwich for the rest of the week. I'm good to go. No, we need to firm in our faith. And being firm in our faith is knowing what the scriptures say about different things. You don't have to be a theological, degreed person. But there has to be a number of scriptures running around in your head that you can turn to and just grab onto for your hope, for your perseverance. Put on the full armor of God. So this is what we're called to do. So let me quickly go over here. Here's the full armor of God. Just this is... Somebody in our congregation has made this. So I said, oh, can we use this, please, on Sunday? And so when I was reading that scripture, you might have picked up on some of the different parts of the armor. We've got the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, the shoes fitted with the readiness of the gospel. We've got to be ready to go out and share. That's what those shoes are ready to do. The sword, which is the word of God. Breastplate of righteousness. Are we right with God? At the event that I went on last weekend, that was the topic that I shared on, righteousness, being right with God. It's not about being perfect. It's not about being good. It's about stepping into God and saying, nothing I can do can bring me salvation, can make me right. Only me resting in you, saying, Lord, take my sin. That's what righteousness is, being right in a right relationship. The shield, extinguish the flaming arrows. Well, the imagery that's used in the scripture is just brilliant. And then I thought, because I like the scripture a whole lot, and I have an international traveling wife, she actually was overseas, and she brought me back the sword. And so when we speak about the word of God, we sometimes just, we don't have this picture in mind. It's not sharp, don't worry. We don't have this picture in mind of a weapon. You know, as you read the scripture there, this is the one thing that is used to attack. Sorry, Stephanie. All the other is stuff that defends us. You'll notice there's nothing on our back. We don't run from the enemy. We stand firm. That's what Peter's telling us. We stand firm. And this is something that we can use to attack. When Jesus Christ was tempted, he didn't turn and run. He stood firm in the word. He referred back to what God had said. And so that's what we do. We go back to the word and we use the word to attack the enemy. My favorite verse, Romans 8 verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is a powerful scripture. When you feel a weight, a heaviness, when you feel condemned, you can turn to that scripture and say, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I do not accept the condemnation that is coming on me. It is not of God. Definitely not. I reject it. So I had to bring out the sword. If I do an illustration for young people, I normally chop something up on stage, like a cabbage or something. It's very visual. Next time, okay. But here's all the armor. We've got the shield. We've got the helmet. One of these was my helmet. Protected my head. Thank you. Not enough, I guess. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes. Yeah, just take this in and just remember this. How I wanted to, one more scripture, then I'm going to end, okay. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Psalm 45, 3 and 4. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously. In the cause of truth, humility and justice. Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. We ride victorious. We don't live crouching in the shadows, beaten down by the enemy. We live victorious. The battle is won. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. The lion is the Lion of Judah, God himself. We stand victorious. We do not live under a curse. We live under grace. And so that's what we do. We don't come to a thing like this. We don't leave crawling out. We leave, we stand firm. We stand victorious in who God is and what he's done for us. So what I wanted to do is somebody's going to help me. Gene, is it Gene? Gene's going to help me. And what I want to do, I want to pray this scripture that I've just shared with you. And what Gene's going to do, Gene's going to read one line at a time. And I'm going to pray that scripture. And I'm going to, it's for us. We're going to pray this together. But it's also so that you can go, oh, that's how I can put on the full armor. You can get an understanding of what it looks like. What I'd like to invite you to do is as we pray, the team can come up and get ready because we're going to go to the closing song. And then as we pray, don't you want to just stand and then just listen to the words of the scripture, full armor of God, and then just let's pray, just listen to me praying through this. So team, you can come join me. Church, won't you stand up? Let's pray together. Almighty God, we pray that you will make us strong. We know that the enemy comes and wants to disrupt our lives, wants to grab the glory, grab what you've done in our lives, rip it out. But help us, Lord. Help us to stand strong in you. Lord, help us to put on this full armor. Help us to stand against the enemy schemes, the schemes that want to disrupt our lives. Help us to stand firm, we pray.
Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist.
Lord, we pray that you'll help us put on this belt of truth today. Help us, Lord, to be people of truth. Help us, Lord, to be people of integrity. People who don't choose to do the wrong thing, but who choose to do the right thing. Help us to be people of honesty, Lord. Help us to expose the lies in our own lives and the lies that we see around us, Lord. Help us to be people of truth.
With the breastplate of righteousness.
Lord, we put on the breastplate of righteousness this morning. Thank you that we can be in a right relationship with you, Almighty God, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We wear righteousness today against all condemnation and corruption. Fill us with your holiness and your purity. Cleanse us again, we pray, Lord. Make us right again. Just maybe at this point, you just want to lay down your life before Almighty God and say, Lord, here's the stuff that's not of you. Just deal with it in my life again, Lord. Here's the sin that I've fallen into. Help me to be righteous in your sight. Lord, we choose to live for your gospel every moment of every day. Show us where and when I need to share your message, Lord, your message of love and grace and hope.
In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
So, Lord, this morning we take up the shield. We take up the shield against every lie. Every deception, every flaming arrow of the evil one, against every assault that comes against us. We acknowledge that you are good for us and that you have a good, good life in store for us. Nothing that will come at us today will overcome us because of you and the shield.
Take the helmet of salvation.
Lord, we thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your incredible gift of eternal life. We step into your salvation in a new way today. We stand firm in it, and we say that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Come and make that true in our lives, we pray, Lord.
And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Holy Spirit, show us today the truth of the word of God, the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, to not hide them from sight, but to hide them in our hearts. Lord, give us scripture that speaks to us and that will lead and guide us each day. Bring those scriptures to mind and help us through them. We submit our lives to the guidance that we find in your words. Lead us, Lord, we pray, mold us and shape us.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Lord, we spend time in prayer with you now, and I pray, Lord, that you help us to pray outside of this place. Lord, if we set aside time, that it will not be time that is taken away from us, that is robbed, but that you would keep the evil one from trying to keep us from speaking to you, Lord. So give us moments where we can stop and just pause in your presence, hear your word, and speak to you. So Lord, we thank you for this full armor. I pray, Lord, that as we put it on, that you will help us to be good warriors in your army. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.